Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Epiphany simply means shining forth or manifestation. On this feast day, the church commemorates the coming of the wise men or magi to the infant Jesus, therefore making the Epiphany as the first manifestation of the Christ to the Gentiles. These Gentile wise men probably came from Persia or Babylon or Arabia. Their kind of wisdom was not always God-pleasing. These wise men or magi were more than likely pagan astrologers. God prepared them for this day through the Babylonian captivity. As the prophet Daniel was one of the Israelites taken during the time of God's punishment for the Israelites' sins, thus fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy to King Hezekiah. Daniel was faithful to God during his time of captivity and best known by all the children for surviving out of the lion's den as God protected him and provided his deliverance. Daniel then after that worked and taught faithfully the faith of God to all the people in Babylon. God's word was still living and active there. And it's kind of amazing, isn't it, that 500 years after the Babylonian captivity, it's still being confessed and taught there, as these wise men are proof of that. God's word will accomplish God's tasks. And no doubt that Daniel had taught them the promise of the coming Christ, as recorded in Numbers chapter 24. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. God is now using the chief priests and scribes, and even Herod himself, Herod the Great, that is, to direct these Gentile wise men to the location for the Christ child's birth, as the prophet Micah had prophesied 700 years earlier. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. And so now in the city of David, the city of his birth, not the city of his power. The city of Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. The city of God's house of bread, not the city of God's temple built by man. A babe is born. A babe who is king of the Jews. The one promised to sit on the eternal throne, and not just king of the Jews, but king of all creation. And this King Jesus comes to his own, and his own, as the Gospel of John says, did not receive him. Didn't even try to join with the wise men in finding the newborn king. Despite the chief priests and scribes' lack of interest, these Gentiles, these magis, they come seeking the Christ. Wouldn't you have thought for just a moment that the scribes would have asked, that the teachers of the law would have said, why do you need to know Herod? Or that Herod himself would have sent a group with the wise men, although that clearly was not God's will, because Herod was wanting this king dead. But they'd been supposedly waiting their entire lifetime for this coming Messiah, and then they get word that he is here, and they don't even bother to get off their duffs to go to Bethlehem from Jerusalem, which is just a couple of miles away. Kind of interesting. Our Lord and Savior comes, and he is not the conquering king that they expect or the mighty warrior, but rather he is an infant who was placed in a manger by two poor descendants of David. We're not always willing to admit it, But our sinful nature doesn't desire to worship Jesus any more than they did. We instead join our desires with Herod and really want to seek to kill the baby Jesus. Sure, really not the baby Jesus so much as the adult Jesus. We do this when we seek to live our life on our own standards, refusing to submit to God's word, choosing only to love God and our neighbor when it benefits ourselves, when love doesn't get in the way of what we want to do, when our sinful wants and desires will rob us of the joy of even service of those who need help. Why else would our culture, would it be viewed today in our society as a burden to be a parent? Why else would society mock the vocation of father and mother to the point where you can't find a thing on TV that represents a dad or a mom with any level of intelligence, but always the children smarter than the parents? Why else is worship viewed as an optional additive, only to be done when it fits our schedule, instead of something that is much needed and necessary for my own well-being? Often we are only willing to serve someone else for our own self-interest or because of a guilty conscience, thus making our service a form of penance of some kind instead of a good work before God. Both of these motivations are sinful and not God-pleasing and will only produce either a guilty conscience that leads to despair or a self-righteous conscience which has no need for a Savior, thus again joining us with Herod in seeking to kill Jesus. But by faith alone, the Christian strives to be like the wise men instead. Not in their astrology activities, but in seeking Jesus. For through faith we have been guided to the place where we might bow down and worship our Savior and King. Not by a star in the sky, but by the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, spoken by godly parents, grandparents, a believing co-worker, a friend, or a pastor. For when the word of God is proclaimed, the same Spirit by whom the Son of Man created the heavens and the earth, the same Holy Spirit who brought life into a virgin's womb that is the only begotten Son of the Father, now works to create life in us through faith and makes us sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, we must never divorce faith from the word of God. For when faith and the word are separated, then we have joined ourselves again with Herod rather than with Christ, becoming greatly disturbed when our own crown is threatened. For those times that we feel that we have succeeded in fulfilling the law of God, or that our efforts are good enough for God, causing us to become puffed up and self-righteous, I offer you John the Baptist's message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, dear friends in Christ. He came to fulfill it. To those who have been wounded by the law with great guilt and great despair, please hear the gospel that is for you, that this Christ child brings. Your sins, though scarlet, are as white as snow. You are forgiven in Christ Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Being born from above, by the Holy Spirit, through the water and the Word, our baptism is its own Christmas and Easter at the same time, giving us new birth through the same Holy Spirit, working on the hearts of the baptized to bring them to faith, to raise the damned dead sinner to life, now, and most importantly, for all eternity. Therefore, when we come to worship, we confess our faith not just in the creed, but by confessing our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds in our confession of sins, and in the desire and reception of the absolution that declares us free of those sins. The Christian can never outgrow the need for Jesus. Like the Magi of old, let us go to God's house and worship Him. The Holy Spirit continues its work through the hearing of God's word. And today, whether you are young or old, you remain God's child. It's kind of like, well, when your parents were alive or your parents are around. I go home and I'm still their little baby. It's frustrating to hear. I don't go down on the lay on the floor and say, change me, as a giggle or anything, but mom still calls me her baby. I'm 52 years old, going to be 53. But that's just the way it is. So kids, get used to your parents looking at you that way, right, Sam? Yeah. So let us come. Let us come and worship our Lord, bringing gifts of good works for all people. The gifts the wise men bring are viewed as symbolic of Jesus' very identity. The gold, a gift fit for a king, and yet an answer to a prayer not even prayed yet. As Joseph will be visited by an angel with a message that he must flee into Egypt. And this poor family, as you learned at the naming of Jesus, which could only offer up the two pigeons or two turtle doves as a sacrifice and not a lamb, obviously weren't swimming in cash. And so the gold came at the perfect time to enable them to escape to Egypt. The incense is a gift fit for a priest. And as our priest, Jesus still intercedes to the Father on our behalf. Jesus even goes one step further than any priest could ever go. He doesn't offer up a lamb for our sins. He is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. And the myrrh, this aromatic oil or gummy substance that is used, among other things, for readying bodies for burial. A gift given because the Lamb of God came to die for us. Because there are only three gifts mentioned, we all seem to assume that there are only three wise men who really came. But we have no idea how many people came that day. We just know it was a caravan that traveled and that brought three gifts. But we do know today that millions upon millions come to the Christ child to give thanks and praise to God for the gifts that He has given. The good news is the gospel, and that gospel is the star now that causes us to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Right here at this altar is your Bethlehem. Right here is your epiphany, where Jesus manifests Himself to you personally through word and sacrament, in with and under bread and wine, to bring Himself to you so that you may be joined to Him and with Him have life in it eternal. Welcome to Bethlehem today, where God's only begotten Son Jesus, who is Lord in Christ, is here to receive you, to serve you, to forgive you, to wash you and feed you, and to send you out as light into this horribly dark world for all people. The very people for which He died for, just like you. No wonder we love to sing, "Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.